The following message is a Wednesday night study given by Abe Mention Friend at Athey Creek Christian Fellowship.
I wanted to share a story, and you guys can open up. We're going to be in the book of James tonight, but I really wanted to talk about my own personal wasteland, so to speak, like that song that Joey just went through. I know that we all go through seasons in our lives that are less than desirable. And I know that probably in this room tonight that there are people that came in through the doors probably heavy-hearted, maybe even not really even thinking that they would potentially meet with the Lord or hear from Him, but just maybe defeated. And I believe that if that's you, that tonight the Lord wants to break through. He wants to crack that door, so to speak. He really wants to shine that light in. And the reality is that sometimes that's all it takes, is just that coming up and getting a breath. Life definitely throws us curveballs, but I believe that there's a reason behind everything. The Lord doesn't just allow us to be tempted, allow us to go through trials so that He can watch what we do. But He does it because He's a loving Father, and He really desires for us to mature and grow. And the beauty of our Lord is that he's not some idol. He's a living creator, Father. And He's given us His Word, and it's more than just some book that we can study. It's really, truly is living and powerful. And every promise that's in His Word, he will be faithful to complete. And I really kind of wrestled over the last week about how that I could really share something clearly and have it impact you guys in a way that was not about me, because I really wanted to share my heart, and I didn't want anybody in this room to go, oh man, like, that's cool, Abe, thank you, I really enjoyed you. I really wanted to just testify of God's faithfulness. And then I wanted to just really encourage those that are broken tonight. I want to start out, I'm going to kind of give you a little story about why we're in the book of James, a little segue in. For those of you that know me and my family, I have a beautiful wife, Melissa, back here. We have 6 kids. It's crazy, fun, awesome. But about 5 years ago, we got blindsided. Our third daughter, Charlotte, she was diagnosed with leukemia. And realistically, it rocked me. It didn't shake my faith in the Lord, but I didn't know what to do. And so the reality is that, you know, I divide my time. Brett said it up here before when he's kind of talked about me and our family. I serve the Lord and love doing what I do with the high school group here, but I also have another job that I do, which it's a joy to do as well. And it's coffee, it's Dutch Bros, and I work with youth there too. But the reality is if I rewind back 5 years ago, I was in a totally different mindset about how all those things should work out in life. I remember that I just would plan, and I would attack, and I would do. And I know that one of the things that I used to think about myself was that I was really the guy that thrived in the problem. You know, there's people that when stuff starts to happen, they're like the first to just, where's the exits? But the way that I was wired as a kid was when there was a fire, I was running to the fire with the desire to douse the flames, like put it out, solve the problem. And over time, every time that there was an issue, I found myself digging and diving right into it. And so the Lord was going to show me something that I was totally not ready for. He was going to show me that there's a problem that you can't fix. There's an issue that's unsolvable by you. And so the story goes, Sunday morning, I'm at Athey. We're back over in Wilsonville. Everything seems to be cool. In fact, I feel like everything is awesome. Charlotte had been sick. She had a fever. She had had an ear infection. We had taken her to her physician. She was on medication. She was definitely, I felt like, we're going to be fine, man. It's no big deal. My wife was like, it's not okay. Like, she still has a fever. She's been through antibiotics. I don't feel like it's okay. And I remember just being like, babe, seriously, it's no big deal. Like, it's just kids get sick. She's got an ear infection. Don't sweat it. Call the doctor. Let's get some other medication. Maybe she's just immune to that. So call the doctor. Doctor tells her, you know, I really think you should just go ahead and take her in and you should take her in and get her checked out. I'd feel better about that. So my wife actually, she sends Chris Bingham to chase me down in a service. And he chases me down and he's like, your wife's been trying to call you. Oh, all right. I didn't answer my phone. Okay. I head out thinking, whatever, it's no big deal. And she proceeds to tell me, you know, we're going to head out. We're going to go up to Dornbecker's and we're going to have Charlotte checked out. And just kind of figure out what's going on with her. So head out. Get up to Dornbecker's, check her in, and they're going through and they're just checking her vitals and everything seems normal, right? I mean, it's a hospital. How normal can that be? But we're going through and the doctors start saying, you know, there's some stuff we really want to check out a little bit more in depth. What? They started telling us, we're going to take you up to the 10th floor and we want to run some tests we definitely need to take a deeper look. The reality is within the next few hours, things were going to unfold in our lives that I was absolutely not ready for. At Dornbecker's, I love that hospital, and it's amazing what they do, the doctors, the nurses, the volunteers. But one thing I love that they do is they don't pull punches. It doesn't do you any good. The doctors came into the room, and they sat us down, and I remember clear as if it was today, that they sat there and they said, look, we don't know exactly what's going on at this point, but we know that your daughter, she has something going on in her blood, and her white blood counts are through the roof, and she needs a blood transfusion right now, and we need to figure out where to go from. But really, she needs blood so bad that she's really below the transfusible even level. I was floored. Melissa and I are sitting in the room, and the doctors are just sitting with us in chairs, and I remember that I just shook. I didn't know what to do. The next hour was like eternity. The next hour. The reality was is that she had cancer. They didn't know exactly what then, but they had to do more research. And so at this point is where I get to, Lord, Why, Lord? Why is she's 15 months old. Why is this happening? I didn't run away from the Lord, but I was, why, Lord? So in the weeks to follow, if I fast forward, we went through a lot. Anybody in this room, and I know there's a lot of people in this room, I know there's people in this room that are currently battling cancer. I know that there are people that have lost loved ones. You know, you feel helpless. But the Lord, he wasn't finished. He was only showing us what we could see for today. So as the weeks rolled by, man, we were embraced. Athey, like our church family, loved on us. They were there. I mean, it was great. But the thing was, is there was a storm going on. There was a brewing battle going on inside of me. And I began to ask the Lord, Lord, what is it? What is it that I'm supposed to do in all of this? And that's where it leads us to James. I sat down, and I'm no joke, this is hilarious to me still when I think about it. I said, Lord, what should I do? And I thought, well, I bet that Jesus' half-brother James would have a good idea about what to do. Silly as that sounds, I was like, it's the half-brother of Jesus, man. So I opened up, I mean, come on, you're in the hospital, what? I opened up the book of James, and I want to read to you the thing that immediately smashed through. It's James chapter 1, verse 2. It says this, count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds, for you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness, and let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. When I read this now, it's different, right? It's been 5 years. When I read this in the hospital room, count it all joy. How? How do I count it all joy, Lord? I'm looking at my daughter, and I don't know. This is the thing. It was different between Melissa and me. Melissa, the Lord gave her a spirit of just like, let's go. It was crazy. It was like, drive. We're going. We're fighting cancer, and we're going to win. But what happened in me was different than I'd ever experienced, because what the Lord was doing in me and what my own fear was, I can't count it joy because my daughter is dying. What am I supposed to do with this, Lord? So I began to ask the Lord, and the reality is it was like my truck became my hospital. I would stay in the hospital and I would think about this, and I'd hang out with Charlotte, and we'd play, and we'd try to keep her spirits up and have fun, but she had IVs ran, and they were giving her chemo, and slowly she's losing her hair, and it's tough. But I'd get in my car, and I remember driving down the road and just going, Lord, I trust you, but I'm so scared. I don't know what to do, Lord. And I'd keep coming back to this, count it all joy when you meet trials of various kinds, for you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. What is steadfastness, Lord? What are you talking about? Stability, perseverance. So I began to drive down the road, and I'd leave the hospital, and the tears would come, and I would be rattled behind my windshield. Pull it all together to walk through the door because we had two more kids in the house. I didn't want to come in just teary-eyed and hammered. I wanted to come in the door and just be like, all right, man, it's go time. But this steadfastness the Lord began to reveal to me, here's the deal. You've controlled a lot of things in your life. This you can't. This is where I come in. In your weakness, I am strong. I remember standing in front of our fireplace, looking at it, no fire even in it, just looking at an empty fireplace, and I've just broke down on my knees, and I literally just told the Lord, I'm done. I give up. I'm not done with you. I'm done with me. I'm done trying. I can't do it. And it was at that time that the Holy Spirit started working mightily to reveal what this joy is. I started thinking a lot about, well, Lord, if Charlotte leaves, if you take her back, if you take her home, she's going to be in paradise. She's with you. The grief I'm feeling right now, Lord, is for my own loss. But one day I'm going to be with you. And the Lord started showing me other things in verses, and he started bringing things to life in his word about storing up treasures in heaven. And I thought, man, Lord, I don't want to see my daughter go before me, but I understand now that this here, it's gone in a second. Up there, for eternity. If you take her, it's better to be with you. Lord, help me right now to deal with this. And the Lord started working in that. And this is what came from that. As I would head out, we'd take the kids. Sometimes Melissa would be up at the hospital, and we'd go in shifts. We'd be up at Dornbecker's for a week and come home for a few days and kind of let Charlotte recoup a little bit and go back and do more chemo. And I remember driving up with our big kids, Jonah and Emery, where I was headed up. And it struck me. I get in my car and I drive and I turn on music and I tune out my kids. And I felt the Lord going, stop. Your daughter is sick, but she's mine. These kids are right here and you need to be with them right here. And I started realizing that I wasn't living in the day. I was living in the future. I was living in what would, what could. I was living in fear. I was living in doubt. And I'd block it out with music, and I wouldn't deal with it with my kids. So I started talking to Jonah. I started talking to Emery. And they're just little kids. But I began to realize, I don't necessarily have anything other than now with them. You diagnosed Charlotte with cancer, and you're treating her, but my kids, I don't know whether this is my last day with them or not. I don't know if this is the last day with my wife. I don't know if this is my last day with my friends. Lord, what's going on? The Lord started working it in me. Live today. Our family, we started this, we came up with this, we didn't come up with it, but we coined the phrase, carpe diem. Seize the day. Today. Seize the day. See, when you have a sick loved one, they have days where you sit and just love on them. Give them a blanket and just hang out. But when they have the energy and they're ready to run, it's dance party time. I remember turning on the music so loud, our upstairs room, we had some buddies of mine come, and we totally turned this unfinished room in our house into this place. It was like a hangout, but it had a massive stereo and a huge subwoofer. And I remember we'd come home, and it was like, turn the lights off, turn on the projector with the blue screen, and just crank the music, and we're just in there going for it, just dancing, living. We were going after the marrow of life. The Lord began to reveal what it is. Count it all joy. You see, it's not happiness. It's not, isn't this so fun? It's the weightiness that brings about a literal dance that you recognize. You begin to detach from this world and begin to look ahead to the future. And the things that are going on now, you begin to invest eternally. So the fun things began to be 10 times more. We began to go, and when we would head off to things, it was like excitement would build up because we didn't know. We just basically, we were like, this is it. We have today. That's all we know we have today. Let's live now. So then comes in the next verse where the Lord brought it. It's in James chapter 4. See, I'm going through in this season of my life, I was going through the book of James, and I would use it, I would go, Lord, what am I supposed to do? It was like this tune-up session. It's like, here I go, back into the shop, all through James, and I remember James chapter 4, verse 13. Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go into such and such a town and spend a year there and trade and make profit. Yet you do not know what tomorrow will bring. What is your life? For you are a mist that appears for a little time and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we will live and do this or that. See, the thing is when you start to live your life going, today's the only day, and the Lord was revealing to me, to live in His will. Live in His will. Well, it's in this section, it says simply, well, listen, instead you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we'll live and do this or that. Well, the Lord was showing me, no, Abe, it's right here. It's in your heart. See, the carpe diem, that's you're getting it, but not quite. The Lord started showing me something, and it really, it hit me, and it was the fuel that kept me here ministering to a lot of your guys' high schoolers, and the Lord broke my heart over it, and this is it. When we're diagnosed with a life-threatening disease, we know it, right? But are we not already diagnosed with a life-threatening disease that's sin? So when we're living in this, when I'm living in this, when I'm fearful and like, Lord, what? For my daughter that knows Christ, that confesses Jesus, she's going to go and be with Him. What about all the people that are right now living, Lord, and they think everything is fine, but Lord, now I know that Your word is revealed that they're dying. I started realizing that I needed to reach out. I needed to stop being kind of pulled back and stopped fearfully, like, I don't know if I should be the guy to share. I don't know. And I started just opening up my faith to those around me, not necessarily to the church. The church, this is the thing, Thursday night high school group, all the trips we do, for the most part, the young people come out with a desire for, let's open the Bible, let's read. They want to know Jesus. They're there to hear about Jesus, to hear about God's word, to know him. But in the world, there's this, I don't want to know, don't talk to me about the Bible. Don't talk to me about religion, man. I don't need that stuff. And the Lord started working in me. Yeah, they do. They need that stuff. Who's going to tell them? And so in the middle of all of that our family is in, I start to realize we're really not in that bad a shape at all. All of my kids here, they know the Lord. I know quite a few people that don't. And my heart began to break and I began to see things differently. Rather than fearing whether I would share Christ with someone and they would reject it, it was more like there's a diagnosis given. It's like the roles flipped. I'm the doctor and you've come to Dornbecker. There's a diagnosis. You have a disease. You're going to die unless it's untreated. There's only one answer, Jesus Christ. So the Lord broke that and burned that into me. Don't fear that. It's from the foundations of the earth. I've made it known. There's only one way. So Lord, today, that's all I got. Because definitely I would think, Lord, and this is the thing, I said I wanted to reason with you guys because I wanted to share the real, not the glamour, I was so strong. No, I was so weak. Because I remember thinking, this is too much. I felt that sensation. I'm sure many of you guys have had that where you know that you need to share. You need to tell that person about Jesus and your heart starts pounding. I started having that a lot more. What are you going to do about that? Lord, I can't. Today. That's all you need to do, Abe. Today. Serve me today. So the thing is, I began to live in that. I want to share another verse. You don't have to turn there. But in all that, there was anxiety, there was fear, frustration, and the Lord just calmed that down with this verse. Matthew 6:34 says, "Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble." See, people would ask Melissa and I, they'd be like, how is it that you guys, you know, dealt with all these things as you were going back and forth and Abe was coming to Athe and teaching, and I would also head out and I would serve on leadership boards with our company and speak at different meetings, and I'd give grand opening speeches and stuff here and there, and people would say, how is it that you did that? And the reality was is that I didn't think about it after the Lord started really putting that in my heart versus in my head. You know, the one thing I didn't share with you guys is that, you know, both myself and my wife, at one point in our lives, we headed off and we went to Bible college. I studied the Word. I knew the Word. Not that I could recite the entire Bible by any means, but I had a pretty good understanding of the Word. It wasn't like I was just shook and didn't know the Word of God, the promises. It was that it shook me, and now I needed to know. I needed to faithfully believe the promises. So this anxiety was replaced with responsibility. But then also the Lord compiled with that, it's not about you. It's not even about whether, if you go and speak, remember this, my word will not return void. If you just simply go and share who I am to those around you, you've done exactly that which I've called you to do. Leave it to the Holy Spirit. Don't be trying to be the Holy Spirit. Just allow the Holy Spirit to move. So peace comes when you trust in the Holy Spirit to do His work. I want to share another scripture with you guys. And you can turn there if you're super fast. If you're not, it's all good. High school kids, like a lot of times they'll just be like, okay, I'm done. He's flipping all over. Psalm 23. Most of you guys know it. You're like, yeah, it's written in my mind and in my heart. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for You are with me. Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. In the midst of all of our suffering, in the midst of our trials, this psalm is here for us to lay hold of. But there's something I want to share about it that's important. And I know that there's a lot of you guys that you've heard this, but really, like, pray about it. When we read sections of Scripture like this and we open our mouths and speak them, there needs to be real conviction. If the Lord truly is your shepherd, and you then follow that with, I shall not want, then there's going to need to be some serious surrendering. It's not a statement that's easily made and lived by. The things the Lord calls us to are not easy. The beauty, though, is when we understand that those whom He calls, He also equips. Requires us to fall on our knees before the Lord and say, Lord, You are the good shepherd, and I'm scared out of my mind. We're going to walk through the valley of the shadow of death. I'm so freaked out. I shall not want. But I want. You see, when Christ came down and became a man, the reality is that He took upon Him all of those same things we deal with. He understands all of the emotions, all of our problems, all the drama, all the fear, all the doubt. But in all of those things, He is our champion. When Christ went to the cross and took upon Himself all of our sin and all of our weakness, He made Himself sin to free us so that we could have a relationship with Him, so that then we could say, Lord, You're my shepherd, but I want. And He would say, give me Your hand. I'm the answer. I'm the good shepherd. What you want is a relationship. What you need is my Holy Spirit. As we walked through the valley, as we were in the dark places as a family, I remember being, Lord, this is hard. But when I gave it all to Him, this next thing became real for me. Verse 2. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. The Lord calm breaks through the fear, quiets the storm in the middle of it. It's not possible with man. It's not possible in our flesh. We cannot do it. But in Christ, this is where this verse comes alive. He leads you beside the still waters where you can be refreshed. He leads you beside the green pastures where you can be filled, right? He restores your soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for whose name's sake? His. See, that's the thing that I didn't really understand. Now, I knew this. I knew this, but I didn't understand it. There was a time we were done. We were pretty much on our way out. Chemo was about to wrap up. We'd experienced our daughter really just by the literally grace and mercy of God going through what seemed to be the impossible storm. And I remember one day going in to study for a Thursday night. And we had an office downstairs in our house. And my wife homeschools, so she was upstairs and she was homeschooling, and I'd been wrestling. When I would go into that room, that's where I would meet the Lord. That's where I'd open up His Word, and that's where I would be like, "All right, Lord, what do you got? What am I gonna share with these kids tonight?" And I remember that I just didn't want to go in that room. I kept walking by it, and it's like time's ticking. And everybody that knows me knows I'm always about 5 minutes late, so I'm kind of, it's all right. But I remember going in, pulling out the chair and opening up my Bible, looking at it and going, and I just broke. I just started weeping. The only way I can explain it is this. I was wandering around because this right here, He leads me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. I'd been trying to lead the high school group, be at this study, be at Saturday night, meet with this person, pray with them. I never realized I was trying to do it that I could earn His favor. I thought for some reason that if I could just serve Him more, then my prayers would be more effective. Then He would do that which I needed Him to do, and I needed Him to heal my daughter. I needed Him to really lead us out of this storm. And when I sat down to open up the Word, I remember just sitting there and going, and He broke me because He was showing me it's not. It's me. I do it because I'm good. He'll lead you in righteousness. You know why? Because He is righteousness. When we try to earn favor, what is it that happens? It's rags. It's nothing. You don't earn God's favor. He gives it to you freely. He literally reaches His hands off the cross and says, "It's all yours. Everything is finished. The work is done." And it broke me. I walked upstairs, and I remember going into the classroom or heading to go talk to Melissa, and I just didn't, I couldn't. I was just so bottled up, and she looked at me, and I just started shaking. And it just came out, and I confessed to her, I've just been trying to earn favor. I've just been trying to win the Lord to answer my prayers. And it's wrong. I know it's wrong. What am I going to do? He just does it because He's good. And she puts her arm around me and goes, "It's good. That's good. That's good." And I'm like, "No, it's just because He loves me." Yeah. Now this verse means something different, right? He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake, Jesus Christ, the Messiah. What happens? Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil. Why? Yeah. Can I? Do I go, "Lord, it's because I've been so good. I can take this staff of yours, give me that, shepherd, and start to beat down any evil." No. He'll lead me. I can rest. I fear no evil. Why? Because He's conquered. I can just rest. It's hard, right? I guarantee there's people in this room right now, you have been trying to take the shepherd's staff. You have been trying to beat the evil out of your home, out of your marriage, out of that relationship. You're beating it. Christ is saying, if you would just let me, it's for my name's sake. I did it all because I love you. You don't earn it. I give it freely. See, here's the thing. I was like this. This was me. Holding on. Heal my daughter. Can you hold the hand of God like this? You got to let go. We all have to let go and allow the Lord to hold your hand. It's hard. He never said it was going to be easy. But he wants to hold your hand. He wants to lead you through the valley for his name's sake. Amen? James 5, 7. We're almost through. You might actually get out of here early-ish. Now what, Lord? Be patient. Just when we're leading, you're leading me, Lord. You're getting me through. Be patient. James 5, 7 through 11. 7, 11. Be patient, therefore, brothers, until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, being patient about it until it receives the early and the late rains. Just stop right there. You don't need to show hands, but you can show the Lord with uh-huh. How many of us had no problem with the first rains? Lord, I'll wait. It's not done. I see some fruit. It's not there. I'm going to get in there. I got to get in there. I got to pull some weeds. You got to wait for the late rains. See, with the Lord, his timing is different, right? See, in our minds, our trouble is immediate. We often pray, Lord, get me not through, but get me out of this trial. The Lord's saying, let's go through. I got to work. I'm going to do. But Lord, I know that I saw the rain. I saw you move. It's my time. Be patient. Like the farmer, wait. It's not time to harvest that work. Wait. Verse 8 says this. It says, you also be patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. Establish your heart. How do I establish my heart, Lord? Through his word. Your word have I hidden where? That I sin not against you, right? How can I be established in my heart? It's by going through God's word and receiving his promises and allowing them to take root so that you can be there patiently with him. Establish the heart. That's what he wants to do. He's coming. What is that all about? Lord, you're coming? Lord, come. You rescue me out of all my problems right now. I got to be honest. When people talk about the rapture, there's something crazy going on in me. You know, I'd love it if Jesus would come back, right? Amen? But there's something going on inside of me. When someone says the rapture, if the Lord would just come back now, there's something going on in me where I go, I need to tell you. You need to know about Jesus. Before he comes back, I'm saying, Lord, don't come back yet. There's still more people that I know that don't know you. They've still been given the diagnosis and they're not receiving the treatment. Lord, don't come back yet. That's crazy, Abe. You're stupid. Yeah. But I just got to be honest. Yeah, when the Lord comes back, everything's going to be right, right? But right now, if we're saying, man, I need to be patient and establish my heart for the coming of the Lord is at hand. It's opportunity. Like that farmer, he's looking. Second rains have come. Patiently waiting. What is it? Okay, here's the thing. We need more laborers. That field's going to be ripe. There's tons of fruit out there. Abe, just tell them about me. All right, Lord. Maybe the Lord's calling you to the same thing. Maybe the Lord is stirring you. And here's the reality. It's a good thing. Don't cringe away from it. But allow the Lord to establish and root your heart in Him, that you may be able to just simply speak the word, the good news, the gospel, maybe at work. Maybe it's to a family member. Maybe it's not even speaking it. Maybe it's just that you go, man, Lord, I want to live it. I want to love the unlovely. I may not have the words to do that, but I have hands to help those that need help. I can give to those that are in need. But I believe that just as the Lord stirred me in James to go, well, Lord, this is crazy. I'm in the middle of a storm. And you're stirring me to, yeah. Verse 9, do not grumble against one another, brothers, so that you may not be judged. Behold, a judge is standing at the door. As an example of suffering and patience, brothers, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. Behold, we consider those blessed who remained steadfast. You have heard of the steadfastness of Job, and you've seen the purpose of the Lord, how the Lord is compassionate and merciful. See, the reality is this is what happens in me. Oh, Lord, you want to send me? No. You need to go. Oh, why aren't you going? Why are you not preaching the gospel? Why are you not giving? Really? Those that were patient, those that stood like Job, did Job pipe, all of you wicked friends, wife, get out of here. Job just stayed in there enduring it because he knew that he was called. That was his purpose, right? What's the Lord calling you and me to do? Where are we at? You can't shake that. But I would encourage you, rather than running from that, to embrace it. Because see, over time, I've found that's that abundant life. I want to share with you before I close out tonight, the reality is this. And maybe that's why I wanted to share this with you. Last Thursday was 4 years from the day that I pulled a little red wagon out of Dornbecker's Hospital, holding Charlotte's hand in the other, never to go back for inpatient. She's 5 years cancer-free, and in the world of cancer, they declare you clean bill of health. Right? But I want to encourage you guys, because here's the deal. He that has begun a good work in you, in me, in Charlotte, he's faithful to continue and complete it. He's not finished. The song Joey sang at the beginning, The Wasteland, there's a little verse in there. There's a crack in the door filled with light. And that's all I need to get by. Maybe you just needed a little crack in the door tonight. Maybe the Lord's saying, you just need to get through tonight. That's it. Don't run from that. Allow the Lord to have His perfect will done in your life. Amen? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much that you are faithful. I thank you that the promises of your word, Lord, they always come to pass. And Lord, I do just ask that for those that are here tonight, that maybe they came with heavy hearts, maybe they're going through the storm right now. Lord, I pray that your perfect fitting word would find a place in their heart. I pray for those that have been struggling this week, for those that have been wrestling. They've been trying to work it out in their flesh. Lord, I pray that tonight you would break those chains, that tonight they would receive from you the freedom that you're faithful. You'll complete that work. Lord, I pray that we wouldn't be a people that are easily shaken, but that we would be those that hold firm the promises of your word, that we step out in faith, like Peter, out on the water. Call me, Lord. Call me. Lord, I pray that as we head out of these doors tonight, that your word would continue to just go into our hearts, penetrate, break down the walls, free us. In Jesus' name, amen.
To take advantage of our media ministry, we encourage you to visit us online anytime at athecreek.com. There you'll find our guest speaker messages and all of Pastor Brett's Bible studies available as a free download.